You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley.
Hour number two, countdown to tip-off on this sensational tournament. Saturday, we are your one-stop shop for all things betting on the NCAA tournament. Elite Eight round starting later today. Game number one. Pretty good one. I guess it could be. UConn and Illinois or Connecticut wins by 30. And
where have we heard this before? Right.
And continues their inevitable, inexorable march towards a back-to-back NCAA tournament championship. 60 minutes left on today's show. We got a lot to do. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by our good friend Brad Evans, who comes on with us a lot on the weekday edition of You Better You Bet. Brad, one of the hosts of Live on the Line, a sports betting television show that airs on our network, also airs on Stadium. Brad is awesome. Brad bets all the games. Brad watches a ton of college hoops. Excited to get Brad's analysis coming up in 20 minutes. 40 minutes from now, Ken and I will give you our best bets for all four games this weekend, our analysis of all four games this weekend, and I got a couple baseball games I like for today, too, because I'm sick.
I'm laying the points with UConn, and then give me no run in the first inning between the Phillies and the Braves.
How are the Padres only minus 135 today with Dylan Cease making his debut?
That's a great question.
It's a really good question, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, teams split the first two games of their series. God, now I like that game.
Also, like any desire to fade Yamamoto after his brutal first start at a huge price with the St. Louis Cardinals. Oh, no, you want to play on Yamamoto?
Yeah. Okay. I think they're about to win the series about 900-0 at this rate.
They're on their way there after the first two games, the Dodgers and Cardinals in the Dodgers' second series of the season. So that's still to come over the course of the program. But right now, it is always an honor and a privilege for us to welcome to the show a guy, one of the best college basketball writers, analysts in the country, very generous with his time and his analysis, one of the best out there, our good friend Mike DeCourcy, who does awesome work for Fox Sports, the Sporting News, and the Big Ten Network, and is a must-follow. You're into college hoops. You need to be following Mike on social media. He is on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, at TSN Mike. Mike, we sincerely appreciate the time. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet's countdown to tip-off. My friend, happy Elite Eight round of the NCAA tournament to you and yours.
Boy, it sure came at us fast, didn't it? Hard to believe we're four games away from having a Final Four when it all seems like it started yesterday.
And Mike, obviously, as you mentioned, eight teams remain. And we were talking a little bit off air, and Nick just did a little bit to open the hour there. Like, is it an inevitable run for UConn to a second straight national championship? We've done this a lot this week. Just, all right, who's the team that we see that we think maybe can give them a game? I know you talked a lot about Illinois when we had them on, or had you on the show rather last weekend, how this is a team with big upside. If they start playing defense, maybe they can really like make a run in the tournament. Maybe it's, I don't think it's Clemson or Alabama, but maybe you disagree. That'd be UConn's opponent in the Final Four if they made it. And then some interesting teams on the right side of the bracket, Zach Edey and Purdue, Tennessee, Duke. I mean, NC State, which would be a crazy story if they played UConn in the title game. Give me a team or two that you think can give UConn the best game, even if it's today with Illinois.
Well, I think it starts with Illinois today. Look, I had UConn winning it all from the start. They're the team that is best built to win the national championship, and they are handling the pressure, responsibility, whatever you want to call it, of being a reigning champion extremely well. It has not seemed to bother them at all. But it does get a little different in an Elite Eight game, because you know that step is such a big step. Mike Krzyzewski has talked about what a difference it is to go from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight and then the Elite Eight to the Final Four. It's so much larger a leap to win that last game in. Now, a lot of the UConn players have won that game, but a lot haven't. Cam Spencer hasn't been anywhere near this game in his career as a college basketball player. Stephon Castle hasn't been near any of these games. They're all new experiences for him. He's a freshman. So it is a different deal. And Illinois certainly has the components to make it an interesting game. They are different. I think that helps a lot. They start with the fact that they don't have a true point guard. As a result, they had to design their offense much differently than the standard college offense. And so everybody that faces them for the first time, it's kind of a little bit like when Syracuse was winning all those tournament games in the 2010s, when maybe they weren't quite as talented. I'm not saying that Illinois is not as talented, but they have that edge of being different. They initiate their offense often using Coleman Hawkins at the top of the key, who's basically their center in their primary lineup, and start the offense with him. Or they start it on the wing using Marcus Domas with his back to the basket. They have a lot of sets they can run out of that, which just aren't common. No one has those sets. And so it's all going to be a different challenge for the Huskies today. I still have them winning and advancing, but I think that Illinois can make it an interesting game. And then it's hard to speculate. I don't think Alabama or Clemson is the team that would slow down Connecticut in the national semifinal. So it's hard to know what challenge they'll face from that opposite side of the bracket. But if they're going to face a real challenge, to me, it's going to come from the Tennessee-Purdue winner. And not necessarily from the top half of the bracket now that Houston's out.
And Mike, if UConn does advance past Illinois today and get to the Final Four, like, we're going to have you on the show next week, which is awesome. We're probably going to have to start having the conversation if UConn's able to get it done. Is this the best college basketball team ever? Like, where do they rank with 91-92 Duke, who repeated? 2006-2007 Florida, who repeated? Like, we're getting to that point where it's time to at least start having the conversation about the historical significance this two-year run for Danny Hurley and the Connecticut Huskies. You mentioned that you think the Tennessee-Purdue winner in the national championship game, right, if one of those schools gets there, could give UConn the stiffest challenge. I kind of can't believe we're here. I mean, I thought we'd be here, but now that we're here, I still kind of can't believe it. With Matt Painter and Rick Barnes, one of these coaches will go to the Final Four coming up tomorrow with Purdue against Tennessee. Purdue, about a 3.5-point favorite right now, Mike, in the betting markets. Obviously, it's going to be a really compelling game, at least before it starts. We'll see what happens when the game starts. What do you think about Purdue and Tennessee, a game obviously ripe with storylines?
Yeah, it's a really interesting game, and made more interesting by Tennessee's performance Friday night. Their performances in the SEC tournament or in the Texas game, not particularly inspiring, especially at the offensive end. They looked very much like a team that was waiting around for Dalton Connect to carry them. And last night, even without Santiago Vescovi, who was ill, it was a team that was very inspired at the offensive end. Now, Connect was fantastic, and that was a big part of why they were able to defeat a very excellent Creighton team. But a lot of it came from everybody else just doing their job at the offensive end. And, yeah, if Dalton got going, great, but not just relying on him. Josiah Jordan-James, who's not been a great offensive player despite coming into college basketball with an excellent pedigree, he morphed into a defense-first connector type player, but he was really good on offense in that Creighton game. Zakai Ziegler was able, because players around Zakai were contributing offensively and not doing that standing and watching thing, Zakai didn't have to push and carry and try to push along an offense that was stagnant, and he was much better as a result. And then you had Connect doing a really nice job attacking, picking up steals and taking them in transition, and not always necessarily to his own shot. He had a beautiful assist to Jordan James on one play, to Jamal Meshack on one play. So there was a complete offensive effort, and that's going to be a real challenge for the Boilermakers in Detroit. Purdue was the best, I think, that they've played all year in that game on Friday against Gonzaga. They were a complete destructive unit at both ends of the floor, especially on offense. They had everything going. You had Mason Gillis making threes. You had Fletcher Lawyer making threes. You had Braden Smith at the top of his game. And, of course, Zach Edey. So I think it's a fascinating game. That's one that maybe you just want to watch and not necessarily pick a side. If you have a real conviction, go for it. But that might even be one where you just say, the heck with it. I just want to enjoy how good this game is going to be.
Well, and if no matter which team, if you were to place a bet on the game, no matter which team you bet, if they lose, you're like, oh, I can't believe I bet Matt Painter, or I can't believe I bet Rick Barnes. It's like half of the people will be saying one of those two things, basically no matter what happens. We'll see if Vescovy, Tennessee's guard, ends up playing, and that game, too, didn't play last night for them in the win over Creighton. Mike, I guess we'll kind of like circle back around here. Maybe we'll do Clemson, Alabama to close. The winner of Tennessee-Purdue will play the winner of NC State and Duke. One of these like funny, and we've seen this in the ACC, right, historically, North Carolina has made deep tournament runs before, played Notre Dame, played Syracuse in an Elite Eight before. Like we see this happen sometimes, and you just kind of go like, well, this is a little weird just that we're all the way here and it's a rematch of the ACC quarterfinals, tournament quarterfinals. To be fair, that was a game won by NC State. That was the third of their five wins to win the ACC conference and get the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. Duke, Mike, despite losing the last game between the teams, a 6.5-point favorite. Obviously, they beat Houston with no Jamal Shedd. So Duke expected to kind of roll here. And this has been the case with NC State the whole tournament. Not sure, obviously, how closely you followed the betting markets. Marquette was a huge favorite last night, and NC State ends up winning the game. So this is a consistent theme. Curious if you think NC State can kind of do it again here. A 6.5-point under dog tomorrow.
When I look at NC State at this stage now, I think of Tulsa 2000. Tulsa was terrific that year under Bill Self and rolled through the first three rounds of the tournament, just dominated teams, beat Cincinnati without Kenyon Martin. And then they got to the Elite Eight and they were better than Carolina that year. And they had them down. And then it was almost as if they looked up and said, oh my goodness, we're 8 minutes from the Final Four, and froze. And you could see it. And will NC State still play with that same carefree attitude now that they're this close to college basketball's nirvana? I'm fascinated by that because they have definitely played more freely than every one of their opponents in this tournament, especially Marquette. Marquette was frozen with the exception of Tyler Kolek in that game. Everybody else and guys who were really terrific on Sunday. I was in Indianapolis for their second round game against Colorado. They had guys that were really outstanding in that game that they saw the stakes and they just weren't ready for it. And so I'll be curious to see whether or not NC State can handle that. And of course, for Duke, it's somewhat similar because you've got guys who haven't gotten this deep before. They haven't played this far into the NCAA tournament. Certainly Duke has, but this group, with the exception of one player, has not gotten this deep. So it'll be a fascinating thing to see which team can handle the responsibility of playing for the Final Four better, and then whether or not Duke can address all of the issues that they showed in that quarterfinal meeting in the ACC tournament. They really struggled with DJ Burns. They struggled with a lot of elements of the game. They were not sharp in that game at all. Now they get a second chance and a much bigger chance to try to right that.
A couple more minutes here with Mike DeCourcy here on You Better You Bet's Countdown to Tip Off. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. Mike DeCourcy on Twitter at TSN Mike from Fox Sports, the Sporting News, and the Big Ten Network. Mike, I'll ask you about Bama and Clemson in a second, but give me 10 seconds here. Do you think NC State at least keeps the game close tomorrow against Duke? Maybe not win. Do you think the Wolfpack can keep the game close in like 10 seconds, and then we'll do Bama and Clemson to wrap?
One element of that is that teams have not, I mean, no one that NC State has played has made shots. And some of that has been their excellent defensive pressure. Can they do that against Duke, especially a Duke team that is very dependent on the three? I think they'll stay in the game, whether or not they cover. I think they'll be in the game in 5 minutes, 6 minutes left in the game. I think they'll be competitive, but whether they can get to the end and cover and all that, it's hard to say. Because it's such a new experience for both of these teams.
It's going to be, I just hearing you talk about the game, absolutely can't wait to watch it coming up tomorrow. And then today, how could we forget Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Deshaun Watson, Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama, and Clemson. No disrespect to Nate Oates and Brad Brownell. Just let these two teams play in college football all the time. Bama, a 3.5-point favorite against Clemson in the West region, 164.5 the total, both off stunning upsets the other night against Arizona and North Carolina, respectively. We have about 45 seconds for this one, Mike. How do you see the West region final playing out with Clemson and Bama later tonight?
Yeah, for me, it's all about pace. If Clemson can keep the game constrained to this high 70s, mid 70s, then it's their game. Alabama pushed Carolina. That's not hard to do. Carolina wants to run, but they just don't want to run as fast as Alabama does, and you saw the difference. But Clemson has to keep this game to a measured pace because B.J. Hall, he'll be much better in a game that's decided in the 70s than he will a game that's decided in the 90s. So can Clemson keep that game to a measured pace? I think that's where the game is decided.
After listening to PJ talk about this game, Mike talk about this game, I think I might have an under ticket coming up with Clemson and Alabama tonight.
Mike's got the Clemson orange in his background there. That's good. It's all a sign when you look for this
that
stuff.
Might be Tennessee orange also. We'll see how things play out. Yeah. Mike, very generous with his time joining us on video. We'll talk to Mike next Saturday also, Final Four Saturday. Follow him on Twitter at TSN Mike, Fox Sports, Sporting News, Big Ten Network. My friend, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. Safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
The great Mike DeCourcy here on You Better, You Bet. Our best bets are coming up 25 minutes from now for the Elite Eight round. But coming up next, our friend Brad Evans joins. And Brad will dish on all four games coming up this weekend in the tournament with Nick and Ken on Countdown to Tip-Off.
Bet Countdown to Tip-Off on the BetQL Network. Presented by BetMGM.